And I would say more on the emotional side of things is as soon as possible, get friends in your corner who get you and understand you, and get a mentor in your corner who understands you.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back, friends and fam. So the reason that I started the show is pretty much the entire just message and the feeling that was around this podcast that I had with one of my girlfriends. And that was because I truly wanted to create something that held me accountable to having the connections that I actually desired in my life more often, because I am more of an introverted personality. And when I get that way, or when I stick to that, I am not very happy. So I need to be around people. And I started this podcast to be around people like my guest today, belly to belly, getting nurtured, getting that soul food, and then sharing the conversation with you. So I got to sit in person with my guest, Libby Crow, who is a global mentor for entrepreneurs, helping them grow their businesses and their minds. She's the founder of LC International, which is a marketing strategy company for digital consultants, and the co-founder of The Daily Shift, a personal development company for aspiring and accomplished entrepreneurs alike. She's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs see the journey as a bridge to raising the vibration of the planet, and then later as a portal for giving back philanthropically. So you guys, I loved this conversation. I mean, we were even basically giving each other our permission to use silly chosen names. We covered pretty much everything under the sun. So join in, because I want this to feel like a conversation with you and your girlfriends or guy friends for that matter. All right, you guys, let's get started. Libby, I'm so excited to be sitting across from you.
Same, with our sexy microphones.
I know, it's great. So we didn't have the headphones on right before this, and we had these mics on, but we didn't have it on. And the second you turn it on, it's truly a different identity that comes through.
You put on your I'm a podcast professional hat immediately, yeah, with these mics. Thank
and
you.
And we're going to talk to you like this the whole time. It's going to be so creepy.
Creepy creeper whisper.
1-900, lots of Libby.
And you're happy.
Sounds bad when you say it like that.
It does. That's not good.
I was like, oh, this is a very different kind of podcast all of a sudden. We have so many downloads from the beginning of this podcast. All right. Well, if that works, hey, we were just talking about that. You want to up your downloads.
Yeah, we were talking about sponsorship for a podcast and kind of the nitty-gritty details, because I'm starting mine now too.
Yeah. And what's it called?
It's called Behind the Dream. So it's about the movement that I run for entrepreneurs, kind of sharing the truth behind what it takes to grow your own business.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Yeah.
And what have you found so far?
Well, so I've had this movement for years. It's a community I run, and just kind of the way I be in the world as well. Mm-hmm. And people find it really refreshing that I don't sugarcoat it. And I just kind of talk a lot about how life isn't Instagram cubes, and this is what it really takes. And it's not fun and it's not cute, but there are certainly moments that feel glamorous, and just kind of paint the picture of what it really takes. Because I was surprised at how much grit and resilience and pain I experienced along the way versus what I anticipated it to be or feel like.
Mm. Yeah. So how long have you been on this journey?
7 years. Okay. Before I knew you could even be an entrepreneur. I didn't even know that word. I was an elementary teacher. I taught first and second grade.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, fun fact. Miss Crow.
That's amazing.
A lot of my students follow me now, actually, which is great. Sometimes I try not to cuss because I still feel like I'm their teacher.
Oh, they secretly love it.
They probably do.
They love it. They're just like, when's she going to cuss again?
Did you see Miss Crow's Insta story? She said the F word. Oh my God.
You're like, that's because Mama's an entrepreneur now. She can do whatever the F she wants. Just kidding, kids. But it's partially true. It's kind of insane how when you start in this world of entrepreneurship, watching how the more you that you are, the more people come.
Yeah, I find that too. My identity feels ever evolving and ever reestablishing. Like I call it the pivot, where people shed an identity and move into a new season of who they are and how they want to present themselves. And I feel like that's a huge part of my journey, is just constantly burning down who I thought I was and creating who I want to be in this moment. It's just a constant, like almost infinite cycle of that.
Oh my God. I love that so much, more than I can even tell you. I talk about that all the time on this podcast, and I literally call it a pivot because
here we are.
I know. I'm like, okay, well, here's a co-host.
happiness.
Here's my new co-host.
Yeah.
Welcome everyone. But I think that's so important because, and I don't like going back and listening to my podcast much, because I've pivoted so much that sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I don't even identify with her.
Yeah.
And while I can have grace and love for my journey and my past self and all of that stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so important that we do this and that we do it openly and in our own authentic way, however that looks. And oh my God, this path takes so much forgiveness and grace. So tell me where you have recently pivoted lately. And what that took.
Yeah. I think really we're growing in public when we have a personal brand, and that can feel vulnerable, but it's also really empowering for others to see when we kind of pull the curtain back. Mm-hmm. So my recent transition pivot has been, I feel like part of a big collective of us, not just our friend group, but a lot of entrepreneurs that are female, I'm seeing and feeling that we're all kind of pivoting to more of a feminine approach because we've been pushing our way to success for so long. The pendulum has to swing. And I feel like, me included, the last 4 or 5 months have been kind of recalibration back to what it means to be feminine and what success really feels like and looks like at a micro and macro level. And for me, that's been like healing my body from just pushing all the time, and healing my stories about what success needs to look like in comparison, whether that's to my husband who's super successful, or my friends, and or even just past versions of myself. And so I'm kind of in this transition where I've gotten the money, and it's like you get certain things and you create this new level of freedom and awareness. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in this space of awareness where money is not a concern. So who am I there? In that place, I'm realizing I'm a writer. Wow. I love to write poetry. Mm-hmm. I love to just write nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing that I'm a kid. Like, we're all just taller children and we forget to play. And so I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just like a taller child who loves to write and express to help people. Mm-hmm. And I care a lot about peace. And so I'm kind of realizing that I put on these identities to support myself, to make it work. I didn't really have a plan B when I quit teaching, because I was always been a parent to my parents, and I'm the one that does it all. So I have to make it work. Mm-hmm. So from that pushing, I was able to achieve a lot, which I'm so proud of myself and grateful for that journey. And now I'm really realizing that the softening is necessary to get to the next level of whatever the heck I'm going to do.
Oh my God. I resonate with all of that so much. And I have a question. This is what I've been asking so many of my former like hustlers, like pushers, because that is me. That was me to the core. And I'm watching just like part of my identity still wanting to like, she'll just come back up from the depths of the earth.
Woman.
Like that hand, like in Halloween, pops up and she's like, come back.
It's okay.
It's okay. Come back and hustle. I'm like, no, I need to do that. Like,
I have snacks. It'll be okay.
It's true. Snacks. I mean, I might go back for that. I might. So I always want to know, because I feel like in order for me to have landed in the spot, and I have been trying to analyze the crap out of it, because for people who have not done kind of that grind and that hustle and that like going beyond your threshold that you ever even thought possible, I don't actually know if I could have the softening without that. Mm-hmm. So I've been asking a lot of people, do you think that that was really important for your journey? What if someone's being really called to that right now? What do you think?
Yeah, I think everyone has their unique path. And I've been curious about the same thing. Like, can you really be just in your feminine and have
Like skip over all the other crap.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. I think there's always a yin to the yang. I think there's dark to the light. And I think that for every time that you kind of push through, there's a softening, like you're saying, that happens conversely. And I'm not certain either. And I've been actually thinking a lot about it because now there's this rise of like, no hustle and mm-hmm. don't push. But it's like, well, how much money do you have? And are you making ends meet? And like, I don't know. It's kind of like, no, everyone's afraid to Gary Vee their way to success, but consistency and work does the trick. I don't mm-hmm. care who you are, how you be, or how feminine or not feminine you are. I just find that if you do things in a certain way, you'll get a certain result, but at the sacrifice at what? So I think for each individual, they kind of have to ask themselves, like, what am I willing to sacrifice? Mm-hmm. And what's okay for me to sacrifice, whether it's my body, my friendships, my free time, whatever, to make it work. And I don't know that that needs to be like, I don't know that it needs to be masculine, or I don't know that it needs to be a certain way or a certain outfit that people put on, but I find myself curious about the same thing. Mm-hmm. I think that for sure the pendulum always swings. And I think for sure for me, I've learned so much about myself from those experiences that suck, that are hard, that are challenging. It's always like the most challenging thing is the opportunity too for the greatest learning. So I think that the further in depth that you go in that, the greater your lessons will be. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about the scale in which everyone has for their own. You know, some people might be willing to go super deep in the darkness, then they come out super in the light, where some might just dip a toe in both sides. And so I think depending on someone's own personality and preferences and own success goals, that will vary.
I this is totally like the place that I've been analyzing lately, because I think that as we all come together and as women are especially rising and coming out and just even more into their own voice, it's like, I think there's a part of us that can really either judge ourselves based on what the, and I know this is crazy, but this is very real, like what the trend of like the female energy is when maybe someone else is really in there.
I shouldn't hustle? Like, I'm sorry, I got bills to pay. Like, should I
and
not
And they have a book coming out and they have events coming up and they're like, how do I not hustle?
You're like, namaste, yes, what? No, namaste right now. No,
I'm not even sleeping. Like, Nama, give me caffeine. Like, I'm just in that season.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so important for us all to realize, especially as women, like, this might be my season, but it may not be your season at all. Like, can we honor the season? So what do you do? Because I know that you also do a lot of like mentoring and coaching, and you help so many women. So what do you kind of tell women when, depending on what season they're in, whether it's a winter, whether it's a hustle, whether it's, how do you know how to guide them into what season they're in?
Yeah. So kind of from a look at business over, like, overview, there's certain times in business where you'll be putting a lot more effort, and then certain times where you'll be receiving more support from team or from things just starting to actually take momentum. So I feel like where I help women generally is to get to multiple six figures. So for them, they are hiring team members for the first time, and they're in this new season of receiving support. And so they've been pushing for quite a while. So for me, it's like, how can we create the most path of efficiency for you? You're still going to be working. But for a lot of people, it's transitioning them to the idea of receiving support. So that's kind of that pathway in there, just because monetarily they can go there. But when someone's just starting, it's like the only thing I can, it's like, get your self-care pack, like, non-negotiable, whatever that is for you. And just know that this is a wild ride and it's not for everyone. Like, I think a lot of people encourage entrepreneurship when really a lot of people should be discouraging everyone from doing it, because it's not for everyone. Like, it's not easy, and it's kind of for the wild ones, like the wild free souls that are visionaries. And I think that it's been put on a pedestal lately. And so yeah, I think to kind of go back to what I was saying, there's different seasons in business where it makes sense to kind of go full force, and sense where you can kind of take a step back and receive and let things kind of fall into place. And it just depends on each individual and their goals and where they're at and the resources that they have.
Mm, so beautiful. So you help people, you help women go to six figures and beyond.
Yeah. So I have a mentorship program where we do that. Some people are brand new that start, and some people are already entrepreneurs or they have a six-figure business. They just want to go to multiple six figures.
Okay. So what does that look like from, let's talk about what kind of container you kind of need to evolve into in order to, number one, be able to receive that money, believe that you can receive it, and also receive help. But first, we'll start with when people first come in, do they already have the vision, or what do you do to help paint that and help them become the person that can hold that?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things that someone should ask a client or someone, if you're a mentor, is what does success really look like for you versus imagining that someone's idea of success is like everyone else's, like to be a multimillionaire and to do this and do this and do that. Because everyone's is not the same. So to slow down and actually ask them what they want. Because some person might be really happy making 10K a month and some person might be really happy making 500K a month. And so just to kind of slow down with them. But to answer your question about the container, so in the past, I've done one-on-one mentorship, which I think is really potent for so many people. I don't do it anymore just because energetically, it didn't feel great to me.
Right.
And then I did group mentorship, which is amazing. Mm. And then I had other mentors run that program for me over time so I could still kind of be the visionary. So mentors would basically run my programs for me. And so these containers are really intimate. So I think that's really important because there's no prescription for entrepreneurship or for business. And so the more that you can understand who you're serving and what they really want, the more you can kind of create a unique path for them. So all those containers are really intimate, which I think is really important. And now everything that I do is more in course form, just because that feels really good to me. And I've been able to see where people's holes are and where their gaps are and create more of a smooth process for them to implement things on their own and in a in a way that's digestible. And so anyway, depending on where someone's at, there are different things. So like in business, it's like, okay, there are different pillars. So there's your brand, which is kind of what you're talking about, the very beginning, helping them see what they want and what's important to them. How do they want to portray themselves? Then there's your offers. What do those look like? Are they aligned with you? Are they scalable? Do they make sense? And then there's your sales process. What do you want that to look like and feel like? Then there's social media, content creation and distribution. Then there's actual client delivery. Then is your marketing funnel. And it's your team. And then there's like your own self-care and mindset. There's all these elements of business and people get basically on different tracks depending on where they need to go and how fast they need to go. So that's kind of the way that I orient it is there's all these tracks that people can be on and like, which one do they need first? Do they need marketing first or do they need sales first? And so that's kind of how the container works is individually people being able to see where their biggest opportunities are and what they need patched up as soon as possible in their business.
Oh man, that's so good and so clarifying because I think as an entrepreneur, there's, I think the biggest thing that can overwhelm me is the constant, like constant need to be paying attention to everything, but at the same time, understanding that there's one thing that will always need your attention the most. So it's kind of understanding that one thing is really going to thrive and the rest it's not going to necessarily be their really awesome season and that's okay.
Yeah. Nothing's ever going to be perfect in your business. That's such a funny idea, actually.
My God.
It's like, there's just, Scott calls it my husband, one more thing, one mountain. It's like, there's always one thing. There's one empty. It's like one empty, one empty, one empty.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. It just, the problems get more robust and kind of more colorful as you go on.
So what do you do personally when it's empty season for something that is a challenge? Like maybe it's kind of, and this is unfortunate to say, but it's just the truth. Sometimes it's empty season for your soul, your relationships, or your body. Like, and because your business is like in peak thriving in some of the other stuff, while it may not fall completely to the wayside, you have to change some of the routine and patterns in some areas. Let's say you're on the road for 2 months straight, like you're probably not going to be spot on your nutrition or your meditation or all of those things, no matter how freaking perfect you are. So what do you do? How do you have grace or kind of say, this is the season I'm in?
Yeah, I've certainly had to learn it over time. I used to be really hard on myself and the typical high achiever, high performer archetype of just, let me just critique myself into love. Like, no, it doesn't work. So once I realized over time that there's this such thing as self-forgiveness and that balance is funny, the funny concept and all of this. It gave me more permission to go into the crevices of the hustle or the crevices of the focus or whatever you want to call it, the commitment to certain projects in business. But honestly, it's not always pretty. It doesn't always feel good. Like, to be honest with you, like, my health has been sacrificed a lot for my business in the past. And same with relationships, same with friendships, same with time with my mom, like things that are important to me. I have to kind of decide, all right, this is what's going to take my energy and time, and I can't do it all, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel guilty even still. I wish I had spent more time doing this, or I should have more time with my girlfriends or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I should be able to just like decompress from the day and be a flowering feminine wife for Scott, where really I'm just like stressed out or something, you know? Really, I'm just like, I have nothing to comment on today.
It's like ranch dressing dripping down my shirt.
Yeah. I just want to watch a documentary and eat fries from Cafe Gratitude. I would say that I certainly haven't mastered this like perception of like balancing this, and I don't know if it's real, but I know that when you're dedicated, committed to something, there are certain things that aren't going to be 100%, and that's okay, and that's part of the game.
Mm-hmm. What's most exciting in your business right now?
For me, it's most exciting to think about automating what I can teach in a way where I can have my time back and my energy back. It feels like for so long I've been giving and giving and giving to everyone else, and that's been beautiful. Mm-hmm. I've helped so many people all over the world, and I've grown myself and met incredible humans, and I'm ready to really put that back into me. Mm-hmm. And so to still help people and automate things, and with my course particularly, and all my services in general, and to come back to just do what I want to do. Like, the perfect day for me and what feels really juicy is to just like start my day around noon, like we're doing here together. Mm-hmm. Just wake up and work out and do yoga and make breakfast. Like, can you imagine that concept of slowing down to cook? What? and just to be with my dog and read a book and just write. And so to be of service in a way that's still fully honoring of what I consider myself to be highly sensitive person feels really exciting to me.
Mm. Oh man, you just painted such a vivid, beautiful picture. And also for all of the people and the women who are in the season of when you know you are meant to just be giving, 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 because that's I do believe that that is such, that's really where my whole journey started, was for so many people who are like, where do you start? You kind of start with doing your stuff almost, not necessarily for free, but the very beginning kind of, you need to become that person who's known for, you know, the person that they're going to turn to for the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So for the woman who's in the very beginning season, what would you say to her, and where is she at? What does it feel like, and what can she look forward to next? Like, what's the first next thing she could implement to kind of like help her blossom into the next level?
Yeah. So when you make it more about your message and more about giving value than yourself is when you really start to see things pick up, your audience, your consistency, everything. So the more that you give, and don't be afraid to give too much. I think people feel afraid, like, should I give my best stuff? Yeah. Give away your best stuff. People will pay you to like go to your event or to have an intimate experience with you. Don't be afraid to give as much as it's possible and be consistent in that. So like, if I could go back 7 years ago in the beginning phases of wanting to do this, I would consistently craft content on various platforms and distribute them all of the time so that people could trust me, could get to know me more deeply, and to count on me, like you're saying. And I think more specifically, to just choose a path, because so many people are multi-passionate and they want to help people in different ways, which is beautiful. We all kind of feel like that. I don't know anybody who's like, I only like this thing. Like, that's weird. No. Weird is cool, but anyway. So it's okay to pick one thing and niche down and get really specific, and like you mentioned, be known for that. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to build other things from that, but just start to get people results. Doesn't mean that you have to offer things for free, but start to build your brand through the legacy of the results that you get people, and always give content and value, and things will start to build. And I would say more on the emotional side of things is, as soon as possible, get friends in your corner who get you and understand you, and get a mentor in your corner who understands you, because and who can help you. Most efficient path is going to be the one that saves you from sacrificing so much. So those things energetically and then practically is where I would start.
Okay. It's beautiful. And I want to make sure that women know, like, yes, you're giving so much, but also, when do you think is a good time to start supporting yourself with what you're doing? Like, when I find so many women who don't feel ready yet, or they're waiting to make money, or they're waiting for someone to validate them. Like,
Day one, you know, it's like, it's
help
like,
me, help.
Yeah. So by giving value, it's not like just giving everything away for free per se and helping people for free. Mm-hmm. I just mean on like social media platforms and that kind of thing. So, I mean, relationship with money is so complex for everyone, depending on the stories that they grew up with and all of that. And so just know that the energy of money will come to you the more you give. So it's kind of like an infinity sign. So the more that you put out, the more it'll come back to you. It's kind of an equal thing that happens. So if there's fear in you charging, you're probably imagining that it's up to you to get someone a result. So you're not letting the other person that you're helping take responsibility for their growth, their transformation, or whatever you help them with as well. So you kind of have to let go of this idea that their success is up to you and you're a bridge to help them. So that's one of the reasons why people are afraid, I feel like, to charge, is because they put a lot of pressure on themselves.
Yeah.
When really there's no pressure, there's just agreements. And so when you can have agreements with clients versus expectations, it's clear and clean, and you know that the money is you being the bridge, not like dragging them the whole way there and doing everything for them and getting them something they get to show up to. And then sometimes people just are conflicted with, what do I even charge? So I think there's a lot online, and people can go, okay, she's charging that much or he's charging that much for this. And they can kind of just start to compare or have ideas, which is good to go see what's out there. But I think what's important when you're charging is thinking about these things, thinking about, how much experience do I have? How much training have I done? How many people have I helped do this? And what am I comfortable charging? Because if someone tells you, like, oh, you should double your prices, but that doesn't feel good to your soul, you're not going to attract that, and it's going to be awkward, and you're not going to have confidence and all of that. So these are some things to think about when it comes to charging, but you shouldn't be scared to charge from the start. Like, you probably have so much expertise in something, whether you realize it or not. And so if you're starting to build, charge something lower ticket if that feels good to you, while you're getting the results and the testimonials, and you're starting to build confidence.
You said something so freeing, talking about taking the expectation of their transformation off of you. I feel like whenever we are starting from that place, like, it's actually not going to be even a good energy exchange whatsoever. Like, really understanding, like, your guide and setting that expectation. So for you, how do you set the expectation within your business, your life, your friendships, your relationships, like, of, this is what I'm doing, even if it feels like, you know, because the voice of lack can come in, like, you need to do X, Y, and Z, or people aren't going to like you, or there's, you know, this woman's doing this over here, even though, you know, she might be completely drained. How do you set the expectation, even if it feels less than what you know you could do, but it's important to kind of preserve yourself?
Yeah. So it's all coming back to, I feel like, our worthiness. Like, we're trying to show ourselves that we're worthy and we're enough by helping, like, over delivering almost, or like, I think of it in my mind as a balance beam. And when we fall off the balance beam trying to help others, that does not serve us. So I think about it as, I mean, there's so much talk about boundaries, like, boundaries, but how do you actually build them, right? And it's through agreements and clear communication. So at the beginning of, say, working with clients, for example, I will create agreements with them. So it can be as simple as like 10 agreements, like, this is how we operate. This is how we show up to calls. This is the attitude. It's like this whole thing. I'm like, do you agree with that? Yeah, me too. Okay, great. So it's lack of expectation and agreements, I think, is great for this. And then in general, I like to just say the thing. So I have a saying, when you don't know what to say, say the thing. So if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I have this expectation on myself to get results for people or to show up in these ways, you say it. Hey, sometimes what can happen in this relationship is that the client has expectations for the mentor or the coach. And I just want to be really clear that I'm going to show up 100%, if you show up 100% too, this is generally what we can co-create. Mm. And so I don't want to not say that. I don't think that you're the kind of person that has that expectation, but I want to say that because that can happen. So if you have the awareness that this is something that can happen, just say it. So mm-hmm. someone understands, oh, I might've had that expectation mm-hmm. or, oh, I might've been putting pressure on you as my mentor or wow, I'm not taking responsibility. So I think saying the thing as well.
It's so crazy powerful for the teacher, like, yeah. and for the person to show up fully.
Yeah.
I literally use that before my events. I'm like, mm-hmm. if you have an expectation of me transforming you, this is not the place for you.
Yeah. Radical, like, responsibility.
I'm going to mess you up if you have that. Well, just letting y'all know.
Yeah, you get it. I think that there's so much entitlement right now in the collective energy. And I think that when people realize that when they take radical responsibility, everything changes. Mm. There's no, what I call the drama triangle. Have you heard of the drama triangle?
No, do tell.
It's great. So it's based off like an old psychology paradigm, and I love it. And so basically there's three sides. There's the victim, the villain, and the hero. Mm. And whether you're an entrepreneur or not, this is so important to know. And whether you have agreements with clients or not, this is so important to know, because guaranteed, probably at some point today already, even if you're woke, you've been in the drama triangle in some way from some codependent relationship, whether it's with source or people, whatever. So basically, if you're in the drama triangle and you're the victim, everything's hard. Everything's against you. You're kind of caging yourself and you're pointing the finger. When you're in the villain, you're making everyone else wrong. So that could be like if someone went to your event and was like, oh, she didn't teach me what I, you know, that would be right. like they're blaming or they're bullying. Mm-hmm. And then the other is the hero, the people that want to rescue everyone. So that would be almost like if you were at the event and you were trying to save everyone from misunderstanding you or from, yeah. you want them to get the best experience, you're over delivering and whatever. So often women can be in the hero because we're wanting to support people, but at what cost? And like, are you heroing them? Or are you just supporting them? And so there's a lack of boundary there. Mm-hmm. So the drama triangle is a great way to see if there's agreements in place or if something needs to be communicated in a more authentic way.
Oh my God, that's good. Like I so literally good. Just need to get that tattoo.
You should Google like, it.
Why do you have drama inside of a triangle? I'm like, because you're in it right now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, I don't even know who created that, but bless them. If you Google it though, I'm more of a visual learner. So if you Google it and you're listening to this right now, you can kind of see, oh, where am I at in my relationship with my parents or with my spouse or with my client or whoever?
How do we get out of the triangle?
Yeah, with beautiful, mature language, you know? So some people might not understand where you're coming from with their level of consciousness and embodiment of that consciousness. So sometimes it can be difficult. Like if you're trying to talk to someone who's in the victim and they're not seeing that they're the victim, how do you communicate to them that they're the victim unless they take ownership of that role? It can be difficult. I have learned how to communicate over time. I think when you have emotional and social intelligence kind of ingrained in you, it can be easier.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have those SQEQ kind of just ingrained in me. So I've learned, oh, if I want to be real, I need to say things that might be uncomfortable and that might trigger, that's such like a spiritual word, but might like trigger someone to feel something that might not be happy. And I've had to risk that to be honest. So I used to just kind of make people feel happy and tiptoe around and please people because they didn't want to feel misunderstood or kind of rock the boat. And if you want to help someone get out of the drama triangle, or if you yourself want to get out of the drama triangle, you're going to have to say something that might not make someone happy. And that's okay. So it's kind of like, say that a friend of mine is in the victim and she's kind of just complaining a lot and she's not really seeing her pattern. And it's like, okay, like I'm in friendships where we're honest with each other in a loving way. So it's like, hey, I was wondering if I could show something to your point, something out that I've been seeing. And the only way I can see it is because I've experienced it myself. Would it be okay if we could talk about that? It might be triggering and I just don't want to bring it up if you don't want to be open to that. It's like always asking for permission. And then I think following that should always be acknowledgement. So it's like, first of all, I just want to say that you've been putting yourself out there. You've been doing all this. I love you. And thank you for sharing with me. You're an amazing person. Acknowledge the person, then give the feedback third. So it's like, here's what I see. I see that you're kind of blaming life or blaming circumstances or blaming. So then you can kind of share what you see. So I think there's a way you can help people see that they're in it that's still loving.
That's so powerful. I have a few relationships like that that are so close that it's like, it's never fun. So that's what, when people are listening, like, yes, that feeling that you might have in the pit of your stomach, picturing who you need to talk to or who might need to talk to you about something, like, mm-hmm. it's very real, but it also opens doors and it's like freedom beyond anything I can tell you. But it doesn't ever feel good, even if it's from someone who you know is not leaving you, you know, especially even if you have, like, I have abandonment issues in my past. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to leave me now. So sometimes I don't even want to open up the feedback loop from people because I'm so sensitive that I'm like, oh shit, like, like, I need it, but at the same time, am I ready for it? So what do you do to welcome, like, do you ask people for feedback in your life? Do you have some people who you're like, can we agree to be like feedback friends?
Yeah, I've had the experience where I feel like people are afraid to give me feedback, and which is really surprising to me because I'm really loving and open and kind. But I think I kind of carry this, like, don't F with me energy at the same time. Yeah. It's kind of like really kind, loving, but also like don't miss with me. I kind of have that vibe. So I wonder if my experience has been like people are afraid that I might then just ignore them or not. Mm. It's like almost like the fear that you're saying you have, like, mm-hmm. will someone leave me if I'm honest? Mm. So I've found that through time and breaking down a lot of my own barriers to protect myself, I have built friendships where we do that. And it's not even like a sit down, like, oh, I have some information that I'd like to share with you about your patterns. It's not even like that. It's more of like in conversation, like, oh, like, tell me more about what your thoughts are on disappointing people. Mm. So it's kind of more so like talking about what we ate for lunch versus this deep, like, sit down thing. Sometimes for people and family members or with team, with business, or whatever, it could be more of a sit down versus like talking about whatever. But for me, I've found that I've cultivated relationships where it just happens kind of in the flow.
Oh yeah. That kind of feels way better than like an intervention.
Yeah. Like, Libby, I have something that I do. Yeah. Like, that's been driving me crazy.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's stuff that if it comes up, you can kind of start talking about it right away. But that can take a little bit of work, especially because there's so many women who are yearning for the types of relationships they want. And the types of relationships that you just talked about right there, they're like, that's like a dream case scenario to even be able to get to that point.
It's taken time.
It takes time.
Discernment.
So what does that look like to you? Because I think what can happen, because I talk so much about female friends, like, people think that if you open up and you create these agreements, that it'll all be perfect. But there's sometimes where your heart gets betrayed again or broken, or it's a relationship and it's a human being who's not perfect, and neither are we. And we always have a role in that. So what do you do in life when either you're trying to create a relationship like that, but also when relationships fall apart between female friends?
Yeah.
Or friends in general.
I have such an interesting journey with friends. I've like always been the friend that I've most friendly, like voted most friendly in high school, like prom queen. Like, I love people. For me, it's been a fear of depth with people. So
what is that?
Even though I'm like open, like we can sit here and go deep, it's like I might be afraid to like be like, hey, do you want to come over on Friday for rejection?
Okay.
So it's like a fear of rejection and letting people super close. For me, it's been just a couple of friends over time. Oddly, they were male friendships. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, when your best guy friend gets a girlfriend and then the girlfriend's like, you can't be friends with that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So my heart kind of felt like, I can't trust people to get close because they can just disappear. Mm. So that was years and years and years ago. And that kind of built up this glass wall around me. And I say glass, not brick, because I'm still open and transparent, but to a degree where I feel safe.
Yeah.
And so I've learned discernment kind of impeccably with relationships, almost to a point where I like do whatever I can to still feel safe inside of new friendships or relationships. Or like if something feels a little off, I'm like, nope, not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Like, I think I can be over discerning sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I am sensitive too. And I don't want someone to leave me that I trusted. And I value depth with people. And so for me, it's quality versus quantity too. Mm-hmm. And so to kind of go through years and years of like having people in my field, there's probably like 4 people who've been around the whole time. Mm. And just because that's what feels good to my soul. So I think really this is an opportunity for discernment for people. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of friendship do you want? What do you want it to be based off of? What values, what morals, like what kind of communication and what energy. Because mm-hmm. I have friends with different energy. Like some friends are like, whoa, fun energy. And then some friends are like, oh, namo, totally. Guru Dev, namo. And so it's also like what honors the parts of me mm-hmm. too that I want nourished by friendships. And so I think that with any relationship, it's like a give and a receive. And I think when that can happen organically, that feels really good to me. So for me, the journey has been breaking down that glass wall mm-hmm. and discerning who really feels good to me after spending time with them. Mm-hmm. Like, do I feel drained or do I feel lit up? Or do I feel like I acted like someone else? Or do I feel like I could be 100% myself? So these things that I ask myself after every interaction, kind of an overanalyzer and extra mm-hmm. feeler. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of always feeling into that after every interaction to decide what or discern what my next step is with that person, if that makes sense.
So much sense.
Yeah.
So as a female entrepreneur and like, I think really any female in this space of personal development, wanting to grow, wanting to get out there, maybe it's someone who's starting to do events or just grow their career in any way, grow themselves and evolve. We get around a lot of people and we can have a lot of friends. It's really challenging, especially as someone who maybe if you are in the self-development world or you want to do good in the world, to be held to an outside expectation that you're not necessarily able to control of needing to be everyone's friend, even though, like you said, I really feel that a lot of people are only meant to go deep with maybe four or five people in their life. How do you deal with when you really start to get out there? There's a lot of expectation from people. Maybe you're at an event and they're like, oh, she wasn't as open as I thought, or they want you to be their best friend, or maybe you have people who you've coached who want to go to the next level with you, but you just don't. It was on your end, it was always you were the coach.
As a professional.
So yeah. How do you separate that and let it be okay, or handle the disappointment, or kind of keep your energy contained?
Mm-hmm. I think I must have this more like gangster part of me showing, because again, like,
how do we get the gangster part?
Yeah, I think people, it's funny because I've never had the issue of a client crossing a boundary mm-hmm. ever, but this happens all the time to people.
Yeah.
Where they'll like, their client be texting them and like, blah, blah, blah.
I hear
had
about
this.
It all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I just kind of carry myself confidently where I'm like, I'm Libby, Mother M. Crow.
Yeah.
And I'm here to do this.
Plus that don't F with me t-shirt that you always wear everywhere helps.
But it's like it's like subtle, I think.
She's had her middle finger up at me the whole time. Yeah. Just the one on the right hand.
She's like, so I'm like in sitting Indian style.
The left hand is waving
her. But it's funny because I think it's like it's almost like the way that you see yourself. Like, are you really, like, if there was no body and there was just a pile of energy, which is what we are anyway, what would that really look like and feel like to people? Would it feel like,
it's a good question.
I could kind of like weasel my way in there. Would it feel confident? What color would it look like? So it's kind of like, I think I have this energy of like, I love you and I'm a person that has boundaries, that needs time and space, that loves sleep, that don't text me. Like, yeah. I think it's like, so I think it's like a way that you're carrying the energy body, and it's how you see yourself. Like, I see myself as really loving and kind, but also someone who is private in a lot of ways. So I think that's, it really comes down to how you see yourself, because that's how you're going to carry your energy body into other situations. And then more tactically, like say that I'm at an event or something and I'm pooped. I will just be like, you know what? To be honest with you, I'd love to just talk for hours because I love people.
Yeah.
And I'm so freaking tired. Like, I can barely, like, I have a raging headache. I think people really appreciate honesty.
Totally.
Like, I got to roll out to my hotel room. Like, namaste, I love you. Like, I'm so tired. So I think if you're just like people come up to me all the time around Venice and they're like, oh my God, hi. And people probably do that to you. And it's such an honor. But also it's funny because I'll be like, oh, I'm going to eat my lunch right now. So we can sit and hang, but like, I'm going to be shoving kale in my face this whole time. It's going to be messy. And I'm probably going to talk to you with my mouth open. And they're like, I love that you're just real. So I think it's okay to be real with people and be like, hey, like texting me doesn't work. Hey, like, I'm so tired. I got to go. And I think people really respect that, but do it lovingly, obviously. Don't be one of those influencers that is like nice online and a poop stain in person. That's the worst, isn't it? Where you're like, I looked up to you and now I want to cry. Like,
or at least say where you're at.
Yeah, like, yeah, if I'm you're in like, a hard day right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of equate it to like, I've met some people that I had as mentors, but more like far removed, like, you know, just much better things. And it was kind of bumsky when I would meet them. I'm like, oh man, even if they are having a bad day, they could say like, hey guys, rough riding today. So my energy's low. Like, I think that's helpful besides like pretending. Cause it's like, I can see through anything with like miles. So it's easy to tell versus, you know, you meet someone and maybe it's unexpected, like how great they are in real life. Mm. I think it doesn't really matter if you have a bad day, but just talk about it and say, I don't think that everyone should be expected just because they're a leader to not have bad days. But I think that if you're going to go out of the house and you're going to present yourself to the world in which you give value to, in which you're seen a certain way, you've chosen that. Be honest if you're kind of having a poop day. Like, it's okay. It's okay to be that. But talk about it so that you can create real connection with people, because pretending doesn't do anything. Mm. People can tell.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the worst.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, sometimes I'm at the gym and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I just need a t-shirt in case I know anyone in here. That's just like struggling, hardly made it here, like about to cry.
Yeah. Hugs welcome. Yeah. I will say that, like, if I'm out and about and I'm just like tired, or like I just rolled out of bed and I went to Erewhon, which is a grocery store near me, I'll just be like, yo, I'm like, I just rolled out of bed. Like,
yeah.
That's okay. I'm like, I just don't have much energy. Just saying. Like, I'll start it off. Not that I owe it. Not that I have to explain, but I think that it's honoring.
Yeah. Totally. Especially when you're just meeting. Yeah. When you're just meeting someone, and it's freeing for you. Then you don't have to replay the scenario in your head 27,000 times later. Like, I was a real bitch. Shoot. I'll never run into them again.
Oh, she's going to think that I'm fake or whatever. It's just nice to just be real. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you have a million followers or 10. It's like, the more that you can just be honest with humans, the more we can connect and just support each other.
Mm, so good. What is something that you feel right now is maybe a challenge or a struggle in your life?
Mm-hmm. I feel really good right now.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. Those moments where you're like, I'm feeling great. I just spent like 5.
And her hair is really good today, you guys.
I showered for
yeah,
like,
it's so good.
I spent 5 days in the redwoods. So I'm feeling yummy. One thing that's challenging or struggle for me right now, I feel so inspired to write so many books and I feel like I don't even know where to start. I feel like the publishing world is kind of interesting and confusing.
Totally.
And there's so many different ways to go about it. And I feel like so much birthing inside of me and I feel challenged about which way to go in terms of making that happen and taking a first step. So even though that's such a silly thing, that's one thing. And then the other thing is it's always been for me, I don't know if you know this, but I had a company for body positivity for years where I helped women with eating psychology and loving themselves and all of that. I had a whole movement where we smashed our glass scales and it was pretty epic.
Wow.
And so nutrition has been always something really an edge for me and my growth, because I like went hardcore dieting restriction phase. Then I went to like eating whatever you want phase. Then I went to intuitive phase, and I'm in this place where I really want to heal my body and eat things that will heal my adrenal fatigue and eat things that will give me high energy. And I still haven't quite figured out what ticks for me. Through all of the things that I've learned and gone through and taught others, I feel like I'm, because our bodies are not stagnant and we're always changing, in this season I am in this opportunity and kind of, I feel annoyed at like, wait, what do I eat to get what result I want? And still, obviously, I love food. Like, I'm like, yum. Oh, I make all the sounds when I eat. So it still needs to taste good. So those are two things, like book writing and nutrition are things like on my mind constantly, I would say right now.
Okay. So I'm going to just force you right into immediate gut reactions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So she just had a giant sip of water from this huge glass bottle. Here
spring
we go.
Water, yeah, spring water out of glass, you guys. No plastic water.
Got all glass. So if you were to know like what you think that you don't know about book writing, what do you think you would know about your first book?
I would certainly know that what it's about, and I would certainly know.
And what do you think that is?
So I want to I want it to be called The Classroom, and about how life doesn't happen inside those four walls that we're taught, that, you know, from being a teacher to realizing that life's outside of the box.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah.
I just got chills.
Oh, thank you. Just talking about lessons that I've learned outside of that box, and how that's really where everyone needs to be learning versus what we're taught.
I think that's, I mean, literally, I love that more than anything, because it's never, from the years of podcasting, which you and I have been talking about, which you're just going to fall deeper and deeper and deeper in love, like you're not even going to understand. It's like, there's no, all of the teaching isn't even in the courses or the coaches. It is and it isn't. It's like all of the moments in our day, like every single reaction in a relationship and how we respond to things. It's like just
life's happening
that
outside
book
the
needs
box.
To happen.
Yeah. So that's what it'd be like. I think I just, you know, different projects for different times. One thing I'm doing right now is focusing on one thing at a time versus doing it all.
Yeah.
And so book is my kind of like second half of the
second
year.
Second half. What's the first half?
So I just launched my course. I turned my mentorship program into a course, which did really well. I'm really excited about that.
So cool.
And then now it's the podcast.
Okay.
So after these things come into place, then it'll be the blog and vlog. Mm-hmm. And then book time, baby.
Yeah. And I think that's all, like, honestly, if I could tell you that without the podcast first, the book wouldn't have done what I wanted it to do in the world, or what I had hoped for it to do in the world. So
yeah, it's like, I think it'll help for people to hear the voice, like, oh this is who she is. And because I think for a long time, it's just been business Libby.
Yeah.
And when I ask people, who am I? Like, what do you think of when you think of me? No one says business.
No, everyone I know,
says,
but
like,
you are.
Light, warmth, radiant, kind. Like they say, like these loving things. I'm like, yeah, I think the world needs to know who I am more than what I know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're attracted to that. And then they're like, wait a minute. And she can help me make money too.
Oh, and she slays. Oh.
Oh, okay.
Does everyone sound like that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's everyone's new voice.
That's our new radio voice.
Hey, guys.
That's their aha moment voice.
She's going to talk like that on her podcast.
It is. Welcome to Behind the Dream with Libby Crowell.
But that voice has to come out at least once every podcast.
You got yourself a deal. Well, I already filmed some, so
okay. Well everyone right from here going out.
Deal.
Okay, so it's book, and then what? Oh, here's what I wanted to ask, because I feel like I know this even with an intuitive eating as well, or whatever, eating. so many words around eating.
I know.
It's just
wild.
Like, bleh, whatever, just eat some food. so I, because I'm in that, you know, I've like been in that same loop over and over and over and over. And I feel like finally I'm kind of understanding it, which is so crazy from the person who's like, you know, been helping other people for years and years, but that's just what it is. You teach what you need the most.
Yeah.
And I think that when I ask myself what I need, I know what it is oftentimes, but there's so often that the patterns and the way my life is, and there's so much resistance around the thing that I know I could be doing more of, like just going and either having someone come and cook for me, or going and like releasing some fear still around certain foods during the day, like just eat that. So how do you, like, are you getting any messages as far as around the food? Because this is a thing for everyone. I don't care who you are. It's literally a thing for majority of people. Mm-hmm. Are you getting any like information on how you believe you should be eating?
Yeah, I think food is one of our greatest teachers. I think death is the greatest teacher, then nature, then kids, and then often food, because we're all eaters. So we can use it to teach us. Oh, what is this showing us, you know, about what's happening in our lives, about what we are avoiding, about what we're anxious about. Food is just a reflection. It's just a tool in a lot of ways. It's also delicious. But anyway.
It's the most delicious tool I've ever used for self-development.
It's the best coping mechanism I've ever experienced.
By the way, at my event, we're just going to eat and journal about it. So come.
We will be there. Snacks.
That'd
on
be so fun. Like, how does this avocado make you feel?
Because then everything comes back to like, actually how you're actually feeling about life.
Oh my God, you know? It does.
So for me.
Oh, crazy.
I like that you talked about like what we resist persists and all of this. And from an eating psychology perspective, it's often about the eater, not really the food. The food just gets to show up as the fruit to the root of the issue. So for me, I find myself in reaction sometimes with food. So this has always been the case. I've always been an overeater, always emotional eater. I think we're all emotional eaters because we're all emotional beings. But anyway, I digress on that. So for me, I've always been like, okay, if I'm stressed, food. Okay, if I don't know what to do, food. And so it's just an easy self-soothing mechanism. I mean, like from the time we came out of the womb or out of the C-section for me, we've been given food to like, it's like, oh, you get the milk. Like it's, so it's kind of a primitive thing to go to it. It's not bad. For me, it's always a teacher. Like, why am I in front of the fridge right now? Oh, am I doing something in my business that I don't want to be doing? Or like, why did I just eat a whole good chocolate bar? By the way, it's the best chocolate bar ever. This is not sponsored, but oh my God, it's so good. So it's like, why do I inhale this right now? Oh, I feel this pressure to perform, or this pressure to make more money, or this pressure to whatever. And so for me, I'm always curious on the deeper reasons of why I'm eating or not eating certain things, at which rate I'm eating or not eating things, like the rhythm. And then for me, like how I'm metabolizing things, like honestly, like digestion, like am I digesting food? Because the way that you digest food is kind of like the way that you're digesting life. And so everything's related and there's no compartmentalizing. And so for me, I'm kind of in this place where what's most important for me, and it's a reflection of my eating for sure right now, is slowing down and feeling good. So instead of inhaling and reacting, it's like, can I give myself the space to be, to breathe, and to enjoy, and to kind of like have more gratitude in the process versus just to do something on the agenda? Like, gotta eat, blood sugar dropping. It's not about that. It's about how can we make more ritual and more meaning out of things that might be mundane? So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Man, that's so, it's interesting because it's such a reflection of when I look at when I'm eating a lot or when I'm eating fast or when I'm eating to like numb or soothe. It's like, and sometimes it's, well, this isn't, it's like so true for so many people. So I'll just say it, like sometimes when you're around really either challenging people that you do love, but they're in your life and they're just in your life, but it always brings up challenges. If there's food around, sometimes it's like, well, I'm just going to eat because this is going to get me out of my mind
the
right
feelings.
Now.
The feelings. I don't want to be in my feelings. So I'm going to be in this
or
pie.
Anxiety or like, yeah, just the discomfort.
Yeah.
Like I find so much food, like, food being a comfort when something is uncomfortable, or like living in LA, like you almost can't not be social a lot because you're like, you have to have such fierce boundaries. Like I even feel like I say no constantly, yet I'm still out at least a night a week, I feel like, which sometimes that can be three nights a week, like connecting with people. And sometimes all that new energy, right? When people have a lot of newness in their life. So this can be for clients, like when there's a lot of newness and when there's a lot of socializing or there's a lot of events, like we go to that crutch. What do you do when you're in situations like that, like the constant social or the constant when it's your time to be out and be the butterfly? How do you not rely on food or alcohol?
Yeah. Well, so alcohol, well, first of all, I think it's not bad to use food either. Yeah. I think that there's such certainly a line between health and like flow with, with food. So anytime that you notice patterns around food is just showing you that you need to look at something deeper. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that per se, if you have awareness around it and you're willing to kind of look at it and maybe do some work there and to look at what's really happening and why food is just happening to be presenting yourself the opportunity to learn. Food is kind of like a mirror for people.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what's happening. This is just the manifestation of it. And then in terms of alcohol, so my dad died of alcoholism. And for those that have experienced family members or people close to them with that, they develop an interesting relationship or judgment or story around alcohol. And so for a long time, I made it bad and wrong. And I didn't want to be around anyone who drank because it was hard for me emotionally. And then I started to just completely like judge myself. Like I shouldn't have a glass of wine. Like I shouldn't have this, because I felt like I was almost perpetuating this idea that alcohol was okay and it's not for everyone. And so anyway, I kind of went through a whole thing with that. And now I'm in the place where if I have a glass of wine, like every now and again, I'm not going to judge myself. But there's also just a weird, for me, a weird feeling around it still, in that, why are we drinking? Like, are we trying to shift into somewhere where we don't want to be? Are we numbing something? Mm. Like, even if it's a glass of wine, like, is it just because you really, really like wine? Or is it because you feel like it might take an edge off? And why is the edge there? And why aren't you wanting to talk about it? Mm. Or like, so I think that, again, it's a teacher. It's like, why, it's the manifestation of a mirror, all substances, right? Whether it's like your MacBook or a cheeseburger, it's like all like teaching us. So, so that's kind of my take on it.
Mm, I'm just hearing more and more of your book coming out.
More books. Yeah, that could be like the third one.
There's just a trilogy of books happening.
Seriously. Paulo Coelho. I'm the next Paulo Coelho. Libby Coelho. We'll just change my last name.
It's going to be your new... Which, you're in LA. You can do whatever the hell you
Everyone
want with your name.
Changes their name
I'm like,
here.
Is that your real name? I don't think so. Okay.
The next podcast we do, Star Crow. Hello, I am Star. I have a new voice too to match it. I'm
yeah.
Like, hey, Lori, my name's Star Crow.
It's who you are today. It's who I am today.
I sat with some plant medicine.
Yeah, this is the new me. Hey, and more power to you.
Yeah, actually, I really like the name Zoe, and I've been thinking for a long time, like, what would it be like if I changed my name to Zoe? But I don't know. It takes a lot of work to change all the social media and all that. But
I literally said that this week. I'm like, I really don't resonate with my name. And Chris is like, oh, good God.
Here it comes. You're like domaining at night. You're like, I have an idea.
I'm like, well, I don't. I feel like if I was born with like a different name that I would like become what I believe that name is. So maybe I just need that to be like my alter ego name, like something.
What would it be?
Oh, I thought of a name the other day that I was like, that feels like my name. Like Lola or something. I was like, Lola. And then I started singing the song. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm a Lola because I've got like a very 70s vibe. Like I could have been like born to a mother who was on drugs. Like, you know.
Lola and
like,
Zoe.
That she, oh no. The Lola and Zoe show is coming
like
at you.
I'm from the 70s as well. Yeah. I feel like those are kind of like hip names. Like those are groovy names.
Those are groovy names.
Whoa.
Oh yeah. That's like,
what is time? We could be living in that parallel universe where you are Lola, I am Zoe, and we just met at a disco.
It's happening right now. I just heard a quote. It was, if you didn't know when you were born, you wouldn't know your age. Like you would have no idea of your age. Right. Like you, I wouldn't. I'd be 70s. Like, I don't know. Am I 16? I'm not sure. Am I 75?
Stuck at 22 always, kind of.
I could also be a 90-year-old.
Same, especially with my bedtime.
Oh, yeah. That's legit 90-year-old. Like, we have 90-year-olds that stay in, like, they're up later than us.
Yeah, it fascinates me when people are like, dinner's at 9. I'm like, oh, because that's when I take my contacts out and, like, go to bed.
I was like, are we in Ibiza? Like, this is not okay. I'm so confused.
We're 70s grandmas.
Yeah, we are.
Nice.
We are. So it's Lola and
Zoe.
That's
I like
right.
That.
What's happening? The
Lola
and
Zoe cute
Zoe
clothing
show.
Company. Lola and Zoe.
We'll talk and it'll be 70s clothes.
And everything will be so bell bottoms and crop tops.
This is real and it's getting birthed right here, right now.
You're here to record it. First,
the right universe here. Heard it. Be really You're careful. No, that's a real thing. Like I'm obsessed with clothes as well. Okay. So clearly we could also talk all about that, which is... fabulous and perfect to me. But I want to know if you complete this sentence, something that most people don't know about me is what?
Mm. I am so sensitive to animals being in pain.
Oh my goodness.
So I think a lot of people probably are, but I have a very hard time with it.
Mm.
Scott and I just watched a documentary last night and about Teflon and how awful that chemical is and all the people dying and from it. And one of the things that it actually moved me more than anything in that documentary was the animals that were dying because the company DuPont was like letting it all go in the river and stuff and on the farm and the animals were just dying. And so that's something that I think I'm just so sensitive to animals and I love animals so much, like obsessed. Like I came in your home and I like, sat down with your dog right away. It's just like, so I think people don't realize how much I care and how sensitive I am to them being harmed. Mm-hmm. Like I've almost been in a couple really scary situations where I've encountered people hurting their dogs and I just go into like Hulk and I forget that I'm a non-Hulk person.
Yeah.
And I just go in reaction, and I've been almost harmed quite a few times because I just have no boundaries around animals and harm. So that's something that I think a lot of people don't know. And
yeah,
you wouldn't know unless you were around me and something happened, and then all of a sudden Libby thinks she's gangster, and it's and not. And then it's scary because if someone's like crazy enough to hurt their dog, they're going to be crazy enough to probably hurt me. So that's like a fun fact. Animal lover.
Wow. Libby. I love that. I can definitely see you doing something in the future with animals.
For sure. Philanthropy is such an important thing for me. And I've only given so far to humans and to educate kids and that kind of a thing. But for the future, I've been thinking, it's one of my goals for this year is to save 1,000 dogs.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that at dinner. Yeah. Okay. That's amazing.
So something like that feels right.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. So what do people need to know about stepping into their dream and why it's important? Like really stepping into who they know that they are and that thing inside of them that they're like, I don't think I could do that. But here's, you know, the vision that I get for myself.
Yeah. When you're planted with that seed of vision, I think that it's important to know that that's really special and that that doesn't happen to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so to honor that. And I would say that it's less about you and the awesome life that you're going to have and the money you're going to make and the people that you're going to meet and the people that you're going to help. And it's more about, honestly, as a collective of humans moving to humanity.
Mm.
And the more that you step into alignment, the more that the collective, everyone in the world will because of the ripple. And so I think it's important to know that because you have that vision, it's for something way bigger than you. And you might not understand that yet, but the more that you stick with it, the more that you'll see that it's about all of us coming together for the greater good.
Mm.
It's like a bigger thing.
Totally.
It sounds like words, 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 but it's really important for people to get into alignment and to stand up for who they want to be and become. Magical things happen on a planet level when you do that individually.
Oh man, it's crazy if people would understand from people who have stepped in, like to actually look back. Chris and I were talking about it. It's the craziest thing to sit and go, what would the world actually be like if you didn't like say yes to your dream? Who would not be in their dream right now? And that's been something that's like a beautiful gratitude practice and reminder, like to keep going and keep showing up. Like you guys should play that at home. Like who wouldn't be in their dream if you were in your dream?
Actually, even just to think about, because I support my mom. She's worked for my company for a few years now.
Wow.
And she completely changed her life in every way you can possibly imagine. And she lives by the ocean now here in, you know, California. And she has the most beautiful life. And it's like, oh, for sure her. But then everyone else. Like, can you think of the thousands and thousands of people that you impact? It's like, it's important, not just for you.
And you start with just one.
Yeah.
One is and then all of a sudden it like, it just ripples from there. So you guys have to step in wherever you are.
Yeah. So important. It's really important for our planet, for us humans. It's way bigger than just you.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be the vessel for the good.
Mm-hmm. Any last words that you want to share?
I just want to acknowledge you for everything that you are and you continue to become. You're such a radiant soul and such a loving person. I think you're such a light for the world about what's possible, from connection and tribe to self-love to evolution to relationship. And I just appreciate you and thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for that. I was like, she just turned the tables on me. And now I got to receive. I had to put my shoulders back.
Go, Lori. We love her. You're just really, you're a good person. You're a gem from the sky. And I'm just really happy that you're doing what you're doing and that like we've stepped up. And so thank you.
Oh my God. Thank you. But what kind of gem? No, I'm just kidding.
What's your favorite
thank
card?
You so much.
Sapphires, rubies, what you diamonds.
You can be whatever you want. I'm a bag of gems. I want to be a velvet bag of gems.
You're an eclectic velvet bag of gems.
Oh my God. It's like the best compliment.
What a word of affirmation.
Lola, you are a bag of gems. Like, that's where weird, like, just inside stories come from. Lola, you're a mixed bag of gems.
You guys now know our insider joke.
Yes, Zoe. So I want everyone to be able to find you, follow you, learn about your programs, because you work with amazing people. And I've heard so many incredible things from the people that you've worked with, and you are heart and soul. And you are, if you are in need of learning those boundaries and learning all of the different things that you talked about, like being able to be incredibly fierce in your business, but also be so heart-centered and have boundaries and be able to hold your own energy, which is something I see you do so often and so beautifully out in the world. I think that being able to learn from you is probably one of the most important things. So first of all, let's do podcasts. Then where can we find you and all of your stuff?
Yeah, the podcast is Behind the Dream. Mm-hmm. And everything else is Libby Crow. So Instagram, website, Facebook, the Behind the Dream community is on Facebook as well, if you want to add yourself to that. It's just a group of entrepreneurs who are dedicated to the journey and what it takes and talking about what it takes along the way too.
Mm, so good. Well, I'm so grateful for you. And I always end on one last question. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. Get your game face on.
Game face on.
All right. So you are in passing with a total stranger. It's like a 30-second encounter, whether it's on an elevator or just like on the street. And they look at you and they ask you, how can I make myself happy? What do you say?
The first thing that comes to mind is to just smile really big for 20 seconds and hold it because that honestly physiologically works.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I would be is curious, and I'd probably want to actually stretch that 30 seconds and be like, let's talk about that. What is happiness to you? And so I think curiosity would probably happen, to be honest with you, versus a stark answer, because that's just how I be.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, first of all, we're going to sit down and smile awkwardly at each other for 20 seconds, really big. And then we can talk about why you're actually curious.
Oh my God, it's so good. You're the only person who's like, actually, I would ask for more than 30 seconds. So
really? That's surprising. Yeah. If someone's so asking me that, I'll be like, all right, let's talk about what's happening.
You're like, I can't do this in 30 seconds. I require more, universe. All right.
I love that, though.
I love that. Ask for more. Ask for more time. That's what you can do. All right. Well, thank you so much, Libby. And you guys, if you loved this podcast as much as I did, make sure you share it with a friend. Text it to a friend right now. And until next time, earn your happy. Bye, everyone.
Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.